All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and let's go to Isaiah 53. Start there. Isaiah 53. And we're picking up where we left off last week, or 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, however long it was.
11 years ago.
11 years ago, yeah. I've fallen and I can't get up. Mercy. All right. Isaiah 53. Look at verse 1, please. And the question is asked, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now this is prophetically speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, everybody understand that as I read these verses and realize that all this is about Jesus, okay? It's prophetically spoken. Isaiah was like 740 years before Christ, and he is looking way down the road. And here's what he says in prophecy. Verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne, B-O-R-N-E, all right? He hath borne, it means to carry, to bear the burden of. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Notice, borne our griefs, not his own. He didn't have any of his own.
Right.
All right? He bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now notice that. We esteemed him, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So it was God who chastened him,
right,
who chastised him. All right? Why? Well, go back to the little word, our, us. He did it for us. God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's us, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, not his own. He didn't have any of his own. He was bruised for our iniquities, not his iniquities. He didn't have any of his own iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
All right, now, his stripes, what does that mean? Well, that means that when he was beaten and his skin broke open and the blood came out of his body, with his stripes, we are healed. The stripes brought the blood. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All right, now let that sink into you. All we like sheep have gone astray. In other words, we're all sinners. All right, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. For he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Notice that. It pleased Jehovah God to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He, God, shall see the travail of his, Christ's, soul and shall be satisfied. In other words, when God looked down and saw his only begotten Son suffering on that cross, God was satisfied. You see, that was the only way for us to have redemption, a sinless substitute. And God sent him, and when God saw the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. That's an amazing statement right there. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. You say, I thought he bore the sin of all. He did, but not all will accept him. And so if you don't accept him, then you bear the price yourself in hell for eternity. All right? So when Isaiah says here that he hath borne the sins of many and hath made intercession for the transgressors, he did just that, but not all will receive him. So they'll have to bear the burden of the transgression for themselves. All right, so let's pray now, and then we'll continue where we left off. All right, let's pray. Now, our Father, thank you for this great prophetic chapter that was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Father, thank you for what we can learn here. Thank you that it is amplified over and over that our blessed Savior was not paying for his own sin, but was paying the price for our sin. And I pray that you'll help us tonight as we think on this and as we remember what happened when Jesus was on the cross. So bless your word now to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. All right, now go back over to the New Testament for just a moment, or for the rest of the lesson, I suppose, to chapter 27. And these are the verses where we are seeing the Shekinah. We have been studying the Shekinah glory, the glory cloud. And that glory cloud has shown up many, many times in the Scripture. And in this one is unique. It's not solely unique, but it is unique in the fact that the cloud was a cloud of darkness that showed up when Jesus was on the cross. From noon until 3 o'clock, the cloud was there, and it was a cloud of darkness. And I took you back last couple of lessons and showed you how that this is not unprecedented, simply because there was the cloud brought 3 days of darkness to the Egyptians as they refused to let the children of Israel go to the promised land. And then there was the 3 days, it was so dark that Moses said you could feel the darkness, all right? It was a felt darkness, not natural. It was not natural. We all know, no matter how many years you have been on the planet, you know that when you wake up in the morning, the sun is going to come up, all right? I mean, it's just what it does. The sun comes up, and then 12 hours or so later, it goes down, and it's dark. And then the next morning, it comes back up again, all right? Actually, the sun doesn't move. We're the ones that's moving. But the point is that there is a rotation, and that rotation was established by God, and it works.
Amen.
All right? Every time it works. Now, except for here. And when the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt, and God said, Moses said, God said, let my people go. And they didn't do it. And so it was an attack. All 10 of those plagues, of which darkness for 3 days was one of the plagues, but every time it was an attack upon one of the Egyptian gods, their deities.
Right.
And it was showing them to be powerless, and the glory cloud, the glory of God, to be powerful. All right, so what happens? Well, here we are now in at the cross, and we see in verse 45 that from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. So we have the darkness, the Shekinah showing up and covering the land for 3 straight hours. 3 straight hours. Now, here's the Lord suffering beyond anything we could imagine. I read that for you just a moment ago in Isaiah 53. All right? What we read in Isaiah 53 is what was going on with the Lord as he hung on Calvary's cross those last 3 hours. All of hell was released against him.
Right.
Everything the devil had, everything that Satan could muster, was thrown at the Savior during that 3 hours, from 12 until 3 o'clock. All right, now, Matthew, I'm sorry. Did I not say that?
Nice.
My bad. You know, a mind's a terrible thing to waste. You know that? Sorry, I just, Karen says, I can't read your mind, Norse Belcher. But you can interrupt me, can't you? Huh? You're the only one who dared. Boy, they're just running through my mind, one right after another. But, you know, 69 years, I've learned a little bit, so I'm going to shut up right now before I get in trouble. All right, so We've been reading about the suffering. The suffering. And that 3 hours is where the suffering happened. It's where everything was let wide open to come at our Savior while he hung on that cross.
Right.
Now, physically suffering was definitely a part of God's plan for man's redemption. For without the shedding of blood, and that includes suffering. All right? You see that? That includes suffering. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. All right? Remission of sin. So without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And through this affliction from the hands of men, our Savior suffered immensely as his precious blood was shed for us. But we need to take things just a little bit deeper than just the physical suffering. Yes, the physical suffering was involved. But in order to get to the heart and substance of the suffering, which brought our redemption and a way for us to receive eternal life, we need to consider another aspect of what happened on that cross. You see, in order to fully comprehend the nature, the essence of redemption, we must keep in mind that there are two kinds of death. There is physical death, and then there's spiritual death. All right? There's physical, and then there's spiritual. The physical death is the most obvious because it's tangible, it's visible, it's something that we can see, know, and understand what has happened. It's discernible. Let me say it that way. All right? Its results are well known and are most dreaded. It is just about the only death that most people think about, their physical death. You know this is true. Very few folks ever stop to think about their spiritual death. And that's sad. But that's why the devil has sought so diligently to keep our society spiritually ignorant. Just keep men spiritually ignorant. And if man is spiritually ignorant, then he's not going to think about eternal things. He'll think about temporal things, but not eternal things. Now, as terrible as physical death is, there is another infinitely more awful type of death men need to fear more than anything else, and that is spiritual death. You see, listen carefully to this. I struggled with how to word this. I know what I want to say, but it didn't come out right. So see if you can follow me here. Physical death is the result of spiritual death. Does that make sense to you? All right, let me say it again. Physical death is the result of spiritual death. You see, we are already dead in trespasses and sins. spiritually speaking. Now, we're physically alive, but spiritually, we are dead in trespasses and sins. And that's why we need to be born again, because that physical death is the result of the fact that we are spiritually dead. If you're not saved, you're spiritually dead. If there had been no spiritual death, there would have been no physical death. I've said to you many times that if Adam and Eve had not sinned in the garden, they'd still be alive today. Because it's sin that brings death. It brings physical death, but sadly, it also brings spiritual death. So sin had brought to man both deaths. And so the Lord Jesus, sent to this earth as our substitute, man's substitute, had to undergo, when he was on that cross, both the physical and the spiritual death. Now, what did he do when he was on that cross? Physically, he died. He gave up the ghost. All right? He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly. And if I lay it down, I'll take it up again. All right, so our Savior came to this earth to be our substitute. And in order to do that, he had to undergo both the physical and the spiritual death. For neither alone could suffice. So the dual aspect of his death is described for us by Isaiah 53. The prophet gives us a description of the physical suffering in the first several verses of that chapter. And then we read that his appearance was more marred than that of any man by the brutalities that he had to face before and during the crucifixion. But folks, as horrible as was the physical distresses that he faced. And again, I have said to you many, many times, they did not kill him. He laid down his life. Please understand that. All right? These newer translations of the Bible, they refer to the fact that Christ spilled his blood. No, he didn't. If you spill something, what is that? That's an accident. It's whoops. I mean, we had the ultimate accident in our home growing up. His name was Pastor Josh. All right? That boy was an accident looking for someplace to happen. I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard, whoops, or uh-oh. I'd be a rich man, that's for sure. All right? Christ did not spill, oops, his blood. All right? The Bible describes it this way. He shed his blood. And not only did he shed his blood, but wait a minute, he shed his blood on purpose. Wasn't an oops. No way. No, it was for you and for me. and he did it on purpose. And so as horrible as that physical punishment was, the physical suffering that he had to do, the prophet Isaiah did not make the physical suffering the essence, the heart of our atonement. No, he saw the deeper fact. And what is the deeper fact? Well, I told you to come forward, but actually I need you back in Isaiah 53, I'm sorry. All right, go back to, hold your place, but go back to Isaiah 53. I'm sorry, I should have told you to stay there. All right, so we have in the first part all this suffering, but wait a minute. That's not, that physical death, that wasn't all. That wasn't all that God needed. That wasn't it. There was more. Oh, yeah, what was it? Look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. God shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. You see, it pleased the Lord to make his soul an offering, an atonement for sin. And then through Isaiah in verse 11, when he says, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And then again in verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And folks, the statement of the offering of his soul was repeated three times in this chapter. And remember, three is the number of completion.
Amen.
All right? It's a number of completion. And so when Jesus went to the cross, he suffered, yes. He suffered physical death, yes. But that's not all. He suffered spiritual death as well. I mean, you say, how so, Pastor? Well, don't forget. Go back now to Matthew, let's see, look at chapter 26 for just a moment. Matthew 26. Did I tell you Matthew? All right, Matthew 26. All right, look please at verse, let's start, I think, in verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all of the disciples. Now watch this. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which are who? James and John. Very good. Very good. See how much Bible y'all know now? and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him the two sons of Zebedee, watch, and began to be what? Sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, watch this now, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Folks, I'm telling you that it is quite evident that the soul of our Savior underwent a death far deeper and much more significant than did than the death of his body was. Right. Far more significant. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, how'd that happen? Well, look for just a moment back at chapter 27. All right, now watch this. Verse 45, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. So from 12 until 3, okay, darkness. Notice, nothing was said by our Lord in that 3 hours. All right, now listen, nothing was said. Now notice this. It says, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why that spiritual death that he suffered on the cross, you want to know why that was so bad? Why that just outshined all the physical suffering he had to endure? The answer is right there. Because when Jesus was paying the price for your sin and my sin, while he was in that last 3 hours, the Father forsook him. You say, what does that mean? Well, we're going to look at that in the next several weeks. It is rich. It is rich with understanding. I remember years ago when I was in college, Lester Roloff used to come to Boulevard Baptist Church every January, about the time we got back to school. And he would preach a revival meeting at Boulevard Baptist Church, which was about 2 miles up the road from the school. And we would all the preacher boys, I mean, we just all pile in cars and go. And we just go sit on the front row. We wanted to get, all right? He would just stand up and preach. Most of the time, when he was in that meeting, he preached from Genesis 1. You know why? Because the new year came, January 1st, and he started reading the Bible from Genesis over again. Just read right through the Bible. And so he would preach out of Genesis 1. I don't know how many sermons I heard in January. Well, five, I can tell you that. Five years. And he preached right out of Genesis 1, the first few nights of the meeting, because that's where he was reading in his Bible reading. Never heard the same sermon twice. Never heard him. You say, well, how do you know? I wrote notes on all of them. I wrote notes. And here's another thing. Very rarely did he have an outline. Very rarely. If he had an outline, it was on accident. He didn't mean to have one. You know, that was just Lester Roloff. Brilliant, brilliant man, brilliant man. Here's what Lester said. I summarize it for you. Lester said that when Jesus was on the cross for that final 3 hours, when the darkness fell, that Shekinah fell down upon him, and it just blocked everything. Why? Because the Shekinah was dealing with his son in judgment. And in judgment, and don't forget, that's why it was the dark cloud, not the light cloud. All right? And so in judgment, and here's another thing to consider. Those soldiers, those centurions, were sitting right under the cross. They could not leave. If they left, they were dead. They would be executed, boom, like that. So they sat right there and watched, probably scared to death, probably in fear for their own lives. But how could you not pay attention? And for 3 hours, he hung on that cross with that darkness over the earth. What went on? Lester asked. Brother Lester said, what went on while Jesus was under that cloud and on the cross? What went on? He said, well, I'll tell you what happened. He said, when God saw that darkness come, he turned his back on his son. First time ever. First time ever. They had perfect fellowship, did they not? How many times do you see Father, 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 Jesus always calling God his Father? But here, God turned his back on his son. God reached over and lowered the lights, pulled down the shades of heaven. And for 3 hours, Jesus hung on that cross alone, without his father. And Brother Roloff said that there on the cross is where I should have been.
Right.
It's where you should have been.
That's right.
But God sent his son to take our place.
Amen.
And God turned his back until Jesus bore the weight of our sin, and God was satisfied that he had completed his mission.
Amen.
You with me?
Yes.
And so what happened? Well, read on. He cried in verse 46. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? You see, that was unique. I mean, he was always Father, Son, Father, Son, Son, Father, Son, Father, wasn't it? Isn't it interesting that the first cry that came from the cross was this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then the last cry that came from the cross was, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But the middle cry is right here in verse 46. And he does not say, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? No. He says, my God, my God. Why does he not call him Father right here? And the answer is simple. He was not in a father-son relationship with his father at that moment.
That's right.
He was being judged by his father at that moment. The father turned his back. It's like the father wasn't even there. And he bore our sin alone. Isn't that awesome? And you know, I'm not trying to be unkind. I can be unkind without trying, but you know, you hear these preachers and, oh God, God of gods and God this and God of that and oh God, and we come, oh God, into thy presence in thy holy temple, blah, blah, blah. Oh God, oh God, oh God. I don't ever pray like that. Do you? No, I pray, Father.
Amen.
Yes. Abba, Father. Actually, it's Abba. Right? Mark? Yes. But you see, I'm not trying to be unkind, but it's true. If you don't know the Father, you don't feel comfortable calling him your father.
Amen.
Send all cards and letters to Pastor Holbrook. All fan mail, yes. Ma'am, what a savior, huh?
Amen.
Hallelujah, what a savior. All right, well. All right, we're done for tonight. Pick it up next Wednesday night. Here's next Wednesday night's right here. I didn't get to it. So we'll get started on it next week, all right? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And oh, how we thank you for sending your son, the Lord Jesus, to go to the cross, to give his life a ransom for our sin. And Father, we know that physically he suffered more than any man could conceivably suffer. But they could not take his life. Oh, he willingly gave his life and he died physically. But Father, when you saw the travail of his soul, it satisfied you as well. And you said, okay, the price has been accepted. The atonement has been made. And Father, how we thank you for that precious blood that was shed on the cross for our sin. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.